Let's just turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 13. We'll just read a couple scriptures here and go right into our lesson for tonight. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." And last week we were talking about that and how Brother Branham actually went to help some young men that were, one young man that was on, he was on death row. And he remembered this young man, even though his father was a critic of Brother Branham's ministry. Brother Branham still went, left Indiana, went all the way to Texas just to speak on this young man's behalf. And they end up giving him a life sentence rather than actually keeping him on death row. So we have a responsibility to remember those that are in bonds, bound with them, and them which suffer adversities, being yourselves also in the body. Verse 4 says this: "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. The whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Amen. And this is a scripture that we want to focus on tonight. Verse 5 also says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen. Let's stop there in our reading of the scripture. And again, we'll just go right back to some of the key statements that we had for this particular portion of Hebrews 13. And then we'll go right into our dig a little deeper in that scripture in verse 4. Brother Branham makes a statement here: as long as that brotherly feeling isn't among us, we're fighting a losing battle. And so scripture says, let brotherly love continue. Whatever occurs, we have to fight to maintain brotherly love. Amen. Let that flow in the church. Also, this next statement, it says, what was that woman doing? She was meeting God. She met a man, but it wasn't a man that she was meeting. It was God and the man she was meeting. God let that soak in. And we brought out how we can entertain strangers unaware and not realizing that God might be dwelling in that particular person at the time. Abraham is certainly an example of entertaining angels unaware. Lot was an example of entertaining angels unaware. And there's been many other, you know, examples. I think you can even go back to Samson, when his mother received a visitation, and she was saying that it was a man, but you know, it was an angel unaware. And then, you know, she went and told her husband, and husband came and met the man, you know, the next day, and as they began to have conversation with them, realized this was an angel of the Lord that they were speaking with. And her husband actually felt that they were going to die because they just talked to an angel. And the wife said, no, death is not going to happen. And you just really think about it, the wife was a little bit more sensitive to the Spirit of God, because she could say, no, he just gave us a promise that we were going to have this child. So death is not going to happen. You know, let's relax, calm down. It's going to be all right, you know, but death is not going to happen. So sometimes people can entertain angels unaware, and we want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, amen, that he might send an angel to you. Brother Branham actually promised, he said, one day he'll visit you with angels, pull you to the side, and give you something that would pretty much shake the nation, amen. So be careful. You never know when angels might be present. Praise the Lord. Another statement that is made here, it says, just think, Brother Branham, the very man that I said was practicing hypnosis has come to save my son from the electric chair. And we touched on that a little while ago. It says this: you married man, you live with your wife as a wife. It's the bed is undefiled. But another woman could do the same act, and you'll go to hell for doing it. Amen. And this is really talking about adultery, right? And scripture very, very plainly says marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Amen. God will judge. So here, Brother Branham makes a statement, and we'll get into that a little bit tonight. Next little thing that he says here to us, says, God don't hold you responsible for your mistakes. Oh, my. He holds you responsible for your willful sin. Amen. And that's important. You know, people plan to sin. Amen. Amen. People actually make a plan on sinning. They know exactly what they're getting ready to do. They might come to church. They might act, you know, ever so holy. But in the back of their mind, they know they're leaving church and they're going to sin. They know they're going to do that, right? And they have a quick prayer, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. They have been saying that prayer for so many years, right? And what I feel like is we certainly thank God for his grace, but don't make grace a disgrace. Amen. Don't make grace a disgrace. We have to come to a conclusion that either I'm going to live for God or I'm not going to live for God. Amen. But don't be halfway. God hate a lukewarm Christian. Amen. You have some time. I mean, he either wants you to be cold or hot. Don't be halfway. Don't be lukewarm. And, you know, just as people make a plan to sin, amen, I make a plan to how can I worship and praise him more? What things can I do for God more? Right. God can turn your heart around where you would want to you would love him more than anything else in this world. Amen. If you've never experienced that, let me tell you, there's a better life. Amen. There is a better life. But I know saints, not saints, but sometimes people will plan to sin, plan to do it. And what the prophet's telling us, God, don't hold us responsible for mistakes. And we're humans, we'll make mistakes. When you make mistakes, the first thing you do is repent. But those that, and not only repent, you also learn from it so you don't repeat that again. Amen. You can't call it a mistake today and go back and do it again tomorrow and say it's another mistake. Amen. That's not a mistake. If it's a mistake, you repent, you learn from it, and you do never go back down that path again. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You be dodging with everything you got. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you know this particular road got potholes in it all along the road, why are you going to drive down that road? Amen. Expecting that somehow your vehicle is going to get through it. No, you're going to end up in a pothole. Praise the Lord. Spiritually, people end up in spiritual potholes. Glory to God. Amen. So, you know, you can avoid some things if you just keep God first. All right. This last statement here that he makes says, and it came to this world as my example. And it came as your example to just be content with such as we have. Be content with such as we have. We all have to learn how to do that. That'll keep a lot of people out of debt if we learn how to be content with such as we have. Amen. Amen. It's so easy to get caught up trying to be like the Joneses. But if you, I guarantee if you wait on the Lord, he will bless you in ways that you never even imagined. God will do it for you. Amen. But you got to learn to be content with such as you have. Glory to God. All right. Let's go and look at slide 7. Just take me there. I want to just read the scripture again. Hebrews 13:4. It says, marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Just a statement here from the prophet. It says marriage is honorable, but it should be entered prayerfully and reverently. A genuine love for that woman will bind you together forever. What you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. When you walk down the street yonder, she may get old and gray and wrinkled, but that same love you had for her when she was a young, beautiful woman, you'll still have it. Amen. That's when you know it's genuine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Not talk about I'm going to find me somebody else when she get a little old. You must forget you don't look that. You don't look that good right now either, right? Amen. You done age too, right? So, you know, but I've seen people, you know, you heard people that do that. They will, you know, put their wives away at a certain age and they get somebody else, you know, younger. And that's not genuine love. Amen. That's not genuine love. Let's look at a couple things here from the prophet. He makes some statements here in this message, God's covenant with Abraham and his seed. It says, now I do not believe that Satan is a creator. I believe that Satan is a perverter. It says, not a creator, because God is the only one who can create. And in the beginning, he became a co-partner to God. Now, you talk about Satan was a co-partner to God, the son of the morning, and so forth. When he walked up and down a fire brimstone and so forth, that when Satan perverted good to evil, pervert to do anything. Married life is of God. The Bible said that married life is of God. The bed is undefiled, but prostitution and illegal, that's perverted. Amen. And look at the whole mind of American people. And the people of this world is gradually becoming so perverted till it's just even the radio and television is all one big conglomeration of sin. Now, the prophet is dead on with this. Because the hearts of man call for that every intention of a man's heart, just like it was before the antediluvian destruction. Every desire of man is becoming continually evil. What people actually see on television is something that kind of shapes their mind to actually think that some of this stuff is right. There used to be a time that if a person lived together, if they were living together without being married, they tried to hide that. Amen, church. There used to be a time they would not let nobody, amen, they wouldn't let nobody know that they were doing that. Everybody knew that was wrong. That was what we call taboo. But now it has become so accepted that even they're getting benefits from the government for it and things of that nature. It's something that should have never been accepted, because that's something that goes completely against the word of God. You don't get no benefits unless you married. Praise the Lord. And now we have redefined marriage. Marriage, according to the word of God, what we got to do is follow the pattern of the first person that got married. We got Adam and Eve. First people to get married, but now we have redefined that, and we have men marrying men and women marrying women, and all of this is just, it's perversion. It's absolute perversion. Whether it's man marrying man, woman marrying woman, or if it's a man and a woman living together, doing married things, all of it is still perversion. It's sin in God's eyes. Praise the Lord. And, oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. I mean, amen. It's sin. And I know you have a lot of stuff going on nowadays. People allowed to do all kind of stuff and living like that. You cannot live like that and expect God to bless you, right? You can't live like that. That's not going to work. But here the scripture is very, very clear. It's got to be under the bonds of marriage. Marriage, marriage. That's where God blesses it. If it's not in the bonds of marriage, it can't be blessed. Amen. It can't be blessed. Hallelujah. But here, you know, the prophet talk about this. I was, you know, talk about this perversion, and he talked about how the minds of the people are coming. I remember it must have been a couple of years ago, because I don't watch television, so I'm not really up to par on a lot of the stuff that goes on. I know that you know, in Brother Branham's day, I Love Lucy was terrible. Amen. I Love Lucy was terrible in Brother Branham's day, right? And so what they got today is, my Lord, hell has emptied out itself. But I remember seeing a sign going down the street about this movie. I mean, not a movie. It was a, I guess you call it a sitcom. And typically they come on like every, you know, once or twice a week or whatever, almost. But they had, the name of the thing was called Californication. Californication. Now, they put a twist on the name California and called it Californication. Now, if you're constantly playing that, right, and especially young people seeing that, you already, just by the name, you already know what they're doing. You already know exactly what they're doing. But here, when you sit there and you listen, you're watching this over and over again, eventually you get to the point where you have no conviction on these type of issues, and everything becomes acceptable. But you're basing it on what you're seeing on television rather than basing it on the Bible. Amen. God's word speaks certain things concerning this, right? And what we need to do as Christians is base our opinions on what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Don't get wrapped up in feelings and emotions. Get wrapped up in what God's word say, because anybody living otherwise going to be judged by God. My grandmother, bless her heart, she going on to be with the Lord. She had a neighbor living next door to her and known that neighbor for years. And in some kind of way, the neighbor come out and said hi to her or something and just greeting her. And grandma said hi back. But before she let her go, because the lady was living with a man that she was not married to. And my grandma saw that man going in and out of that house. My grandma told that woman, "You're going to go to hell if you don't live right." Told her just like that. Amen. Folk need to hear it like that, right? I mean, told her, you're going to go to hell if you don't live right. And I don't know if she got right, but I tell you what, on the day of judgment, there was a witness that spoke to her. Amen. So, you know, sometimes rather than we can't... you know, and nowadays, it's, you know, you tell somebody that, my, they say it's hate speech. No. I'm just telling you the truth. If you don't live right, if you're not doing this thing according to the word of God, you will go to hell. Amen. Amen. Let's keep on reading here. The perverted minds. This is why we're in the condition that we're in. And not only is perverted in the world, but even in the church, you know, it's not acceptable. Amen. I don't ever want the church to feel like it's acceptable for folk to live together, not be married, and do all this kind of other stuff and just come to the house of the Lord. It's not acceptable. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God does not like that. You'll sit right here and go to hell. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We might as well just tell people the truth. You got somebody, encourage folk to get married. Amen. If you're going to live like that, go ahead and get married. Amen. Now, for me, I'm going to just be honest. I have a problem with believers and unbelievers being hooked up. Amen. So I can't marry you. Amen. I might as well say that. I can't marry believers and unbelievers. Amen. If you brought me two unbelievers, they don't know nothing. I'll work with you. But you give me two believers, I can work with you. But a believer and an unbeliever, the prophet say, under no circumstances should they get married. So I can't do it. But I would tell you this, if you're going to live the way that you're living, go get married. Justice of the peace. They'll get you married. And if you make that choice, you live with it. Because if you want an unbeliever, you got to live with your unbeliever. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. That is your choice. You live with your unbeliever. Amen. And whatever the consequences are, that's your choice. Amen. But here, what we want is that, you know, it's not acceptable for folk to just live any kind of way and think they're going to heaven. Just because you go to church, you ain't going to heaven. Because if you leave the church and go right back out there living in sin, hell awaits you. Amen. Hell awaits you. You be going with an amen and a shout from Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Anyhow. Yeah, and wouldn't that be something for it to be replayed that you were just in church, had a chance to get right, but didn't get right? Amen. Amen. Marriage is honorable. That's what the Bible says. Marriage is honorable. Amen. And you go out there and get a man and he giving you all kind of excuses why he won't marry you. You know you got the wrong man. It's the truth anyhow. You already know you got the wrong man. Should have just waited on God. I have said it before and I'm going to keep saying it. It's not I told you so. It's just something that the Lord gave me. You either going to pray now Oh, you're going to pray later.
But
you're going to pray. You're going to pray. You're going to pray. So either pray now or pray later. But you're going to pray. Amen. It's the truth anyhow. All right, let's go on a little further here, because this need to be talked in church. Amen. It needs to be talked about right in the house of the Lord. Marriage is honorable. Glory. It goes on and says, now, if you're spiritual, you caught these messages that I've been preaching. How last night they sent to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to consult him. You should be spiritual enough to understand which is right and wrong, what speaks and what isn't. Did you ever see a spiritualist preaching the gospel and healing the sick? No, sir. Satan can't cast out Satan. The devil can't heal. Jesus said if Satan can cast out Satan, then his kingdom's divided. Satan cannot heal. God's the only one can heal. God's the only creator. Satan can pervert what God's created. And what is unrighteousness? Righteousness perverted. I mean, what is unrighteousness? It's righteousness perverted. Here, let me say it. We're in a mixed multitude, but I'm your brother. You listen to your doctor. You married men, you live with your wife as a wife, it's the bed is undefiled, but another woman could do the same act and you'll go to hell for doing it. The same act but perverted all unrighteousness. What is a lie? The truth represented. All the devil can do is to pervert righteousness. He cannot create. He's not a creator. God's the only creator, so it takes creation to heal. And God's the only healer. Let's read some scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Scripture says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, and fornication is having sexual relations without being married. So fornicators will go to hell. Amen. Fornicators will go to hell. Glory to God. Amen. And a fornicator will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers. And, you know, so a person that's constantly, you know, committing adultery, you're not going into heaven like that. And, you know, and like as Brother Branham said, you know, people, if they make a mistake, God won't judge you for that. But willful sin. And there's people that willfully, they know they get ready to commit adultery. Amen. And can I just, let's just be honest. Adultery typically is not something that just kind of just happened. You had worked your way up into that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. If you didn't work your way up into it, then we might have to call it rape. It's the truth anyhow. Amen. But, you know, you don't work your way up, and so you already knew what you was about to do. There's consequences for that. Amen. There is consequences for it. My thing is that if there's something like that happened, repent quickly. You know, in Brother Adams, that woman had committed adultery, and she had she was a Sunday school teacher, and there was a demon following her all her life, years, couldn't get free, had a nervous condition. And just totally all messed up. And Brother Branham, you know, prayed for her. She wouldn't get delivered. And she said, when the angel of the Lord come, would you please just call me over to the house? You know, I really want to be free from this. And he said, okay, when the angel of the Lord come, I'll call you up. So he told his wife, the angel of the Lord here, go get her. Tell her to come. She come up there like, but what's the matter with me, Brother Branham? I don't know. He said, just calm down. Just relax. Just wait. And before you know it, the angel of the Lord showed that she had committed adultery on her husband while he was away in the military. And when the angel of the Lord revealed it, she said, oh, nobody knew that but God. And he said, well, the Lord just picked it up, and he wanted to reveal this to you that he said, but I made it right. I said, no. You didn't sin against God. You sinned against your husband. And what you need to do is go back to your husband and make it right. She said, he gonna leave me. He said, God already left you. Which one you want? God to leave you or your husband to leave you? One, if you want to get right, you need to go make that thing right with your husband. Praise the Lord. And while she sat there a little bit longer, the angel of the Lord revealed some more. Say, your husband got the same thing to confess to you. And he was a deacon in the church. Praise the Lord. This right here is a serious thing. People gonna miss heaven over this because they can't get control over their flesh. They're gonna miss heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know, this is when they finally got things right, then they could go forward, you know, in their relationship. But I can tell you, we didn't hear any more about that lady falling into that anymore, her husband falling into that anymore. Amen. You made a mistake, you get it right, and you go on. But if you fall into areas like this, you need to repent and make it right. Don't keep that thing secret. Don't keep that thing secret. Repent and make that thing right. Right? That's how you get free from things like this. Amen. Glory to God. But there's many folk on their way to hell tonight sitting in church because they're hiding this. You know, the church can't even be blessed with stuff like that going on in it. It'll hinder the spirit of God when you get people out of line in this area. Do you realize because of the first sin that actually took place physically on this earth was adultery? That was the first sin. And that sin created all the problems that we got right now. Every funeral you go to was because of adultery. Every hospital you visit was because of adolatry. Amen. Every hearse that you see, because of adultery. Praise the Lord. Right? That's a big one in God's eyes. Amen. So church, this is one that we don't want that spirit to even linger around here. Let's just make it real clear. Fornication and adultery. That's something. If you're doing that, don't take communion. Amen. Don't take communion till you make that right. Let me warn you in the name of the Lord. If you hide something like that, you come take communion, you end up dropping dead. And everybody trying to figure, why they just drop dead? People just don't drop dead just to drop dead. There's always a reason behind it. Amen. Get things right with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. And that's homosexuality. So I'm just telling you what the Bible say. Amen. If you want to call me a hate preacher or whatever, I'm just reading out of the Bible. Amen. Effeminate. Amen. So that's what God say. That's not what Brother Jack say. I ain't put that there. But I'm telling what God say. Effeminate, that means you cannot be practicing homosexuality and thinking you're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a wasted prayer. The only prayer God want to hear, people that's committing these sins, is Lord, forgive me. All right. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Well, you fit in these categories, no heaven. Amen. No heaven. Let's read over here in Revelation 21. Verse 7. Hallelujah. And you know, there are some people that have enough respect for the house of God that they know they live in this type of lifestyle and they won't come to church. I have to respect that. I'm going to just be honest. I have to respect that because I don't want nobody to come and hinder the revival. Amen. We want to keep the church clean so God can be free to move in this place. Amen. But there are folk that know they're going to live wrong and they're going to just kind of ease right on out. Amen. We're going to pray for you that God will deliver you. The same way that the devil anoints your heart to desire things like that, God can anoint your heart where you can desire more of God. Amen. You can desire more of God. Hallelujah. And you'll do everything you can to get more of God. I'm at a point now, I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. I don't want to go out there and do something against the word of God. That is not what I wake up in the morning, you know, thinking about doing. I don't want to do that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the devil going to present all kind of things to you. Amen. I mean, y'all can have your phone. You can be on your computer just looking at some just normal, natural things. And before you know it, something pop up and hit your computer. And you see that thing, you'll be trying to turn the screen off and all kind of other stuff, right? You won't be trying to remember, how did I get to that website? You won't be doing that. Right? You make a mistake. Let me get out of here. I remember one time somebody had given me their computer to work on. That was my job. I did that on the side. I worked on computers, and they gave me the computer to work on. And when I got the computer, pulling it up to work on it, my God, pornography everywhere. Now, and it was very easy to get wrapped up in it, but you know, oh Lord, that to me, that's a mistake. That was not me going. Knowing that this person was involved, they probably didn't even know that they had all this on there. They probably didn't realize it. They probably forgot that it was there. But when I saw, and you know, they had a CD that got destroyed. They never got it back. Shouldn't have gave it to me. Your DVD is gone. Put in a shredder. And when they get and it's almost like I double dare you to ask me what happened to your CD or your DVD on your. You worked on my computer. What? Oh, you really want to ask me that? Amen. But you run into things like that, church, and those are mistakes. That's the devil always trying to tempt you in some way, some form of fashion. But it's not a thing where you just, like I remember Brother West used to tell us, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can show stop them from making a nest. Amen. Amen. So I just don't want the devil making a nest in my head. Amen. Look at this, Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All right. And that whoremonger is someone that's sexually immoral, right? Sexually immoral. The bed, marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. So, God blesses marriages. You're doing things like that outside of marriage, hell will await you. Amen. All right, let's pick up a couple more quotes here from the prophet. This is out of the message, Questions and Answers on Genesis. It says, now I'm sure picking on the women tonight, but look, the world worships women, but women was the devil's instrument in the beginning, and an unjust one today is the best instrument he's got. She'll send more preachers to hell than all the bootleg joints there is in the world. Let a little flapper with a cigarette in the corner of her mouth and her hair all cuticured up like that and great big long eyelashes. See, that's not natural, right, for you to be wearing that. Amen. You see everybody else. I mean, sometimes you look at people, you don't even look real. Eyelashes like that, right? That's not natural. Try to stay as natural as you possibly can. It's a great big long eyelashes that blink up and down. Brother, a little kind of nice looking physique on her, watch what she'll do. Preacher, you better cover yourself up with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's right. Now, don't tell me you're a man. And I've seen too much of it. Now, watch here. The best thing to do is keep your mind centered on Jesus Christ and let your thoughts be pure. Amen. See, you know, as a preacher, I got to cover myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways I cover myself with the blood is by always having my wife present when I'm talking to sisters. Amen. That's how I stay covered in the blood. Amen. I don't want nobody coming to my office, no big long eyelashes and blinking. Praise the Lord. It's the truth in the high. Keep my wife there. Amen. It says, like Paul said over in there, and we know that we have the power to lead a sister. I have power to do it, but said, I won't do it. See, he wouldn't do it. He said, I know that the ministry should live, not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. You know, we sometimes think because we're a preacher, not you, and I don't say brother, but preachers think because they're preachers that they're somebody bigger than one of the lay members of the church. You're no bigger and you're no more in the sight of God than that drunkard that was converted an hour ago. Lord, help us to stay humble. That's one thing the Reformation never purged was these things. I know I signed my name Reverend. That's exactly right. Just a custom thing of the day, but it shouldn't be done. Reverend and Bishop and Doctor and all those things are man-made titles, and they're nonsense. In the Bible, they were Peter, James, Paul, John, and all the rest of them. It says, Paul said, now here, I know I preach the gospel. That's my duty. I'm a preacher, and he's a preacher. Brother Neville's a preacher. That's our duty, is to be a preacher. Well, that's just what we're supposed to do, but let me do something. Paul said, that's beyond that. Now, I've got a right to take up money, Paul said, but I'm going to make tents to show you I can sacrifice. It says it's honorable. Marriage is honorable among all. The bed's undefiled. It's good for a man to be married. He said, I got a right to be married. Now, I could be married. I got a legal right to be married, but I just won't get married. I want to do another sacrifice to the Lord. See, then, he said, every man knows his calling. Let him do some eunuchs for the word of God's sake and so forth. We want to do something beyond our duty. And if you're really born again of the Spirit of God and say, that's my duty to go to church, I guess I'll have to go. Oh, my, well, I want to do more than that. I want to win some souls for Christ. I want to do something. I want to visit the sick or do something for them. It's my duty to preach funerals. It's my duty to preach the gospel. It's my duty to pray for the sick. Let me do something else. Let me go out and do something where God will honor me by it. Amen. I want to read another scripture. Proverbs 7. When I was a young man, my mother used to tell me, read Proverbs, read Proverbs. And I didn't necessarily want to do it, but I did it because mama told me to do it. And today I'm grateful because some of the things that were sold to me from Proverbs helped to keep me. Amen, in life's journey. And I'll tell any young man, read Proverbs. Read Proverbs. Even sisters, read Proverbs. Because as I read this particular chapter in Proverbs, as a sister, you don't want to be like the woman that's in this chapter. So read Proverbs. You want a different character. Amen. You want to be a different character. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. It says this, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. That they may keep thee from the strange woman. Don't let that be your title. Strange woman. They may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. See, as a sister, you got to watch yourself being all up in brothers' faces. Laughing at everything, and you know it ain't funny. You know that ain't funny what they just said, but you're just laughing at everything, right? You got to watch yourself, amen. And if it's a whole bunch of brothers around, Praise the Lord. A sister shouldn't be in the midst of all the brothers. That just don't look right. Amen. You built different. Can I say that again? You built different. So those men see something else in you that they don't see in the other men around. That's why you don't want to hang around just a bunch of brothers. Praise the Lord. And as a brother, he don't want to hang around. It's a bunch of whole sisters around, and he's just hanging in the midst. Something wrong somewhere. Amen. Glory. You got to respect how God made us. If you lose respect for that, it's very easy for people to fall. And you don't even, I never intended for that to happen. Yeah, I know that. But this is the way that you can prevent things like that from happening. Trust me on this. Don't hang like that. Don't hang like that. Amen. Brothers, don't be hanging you with a bunch of sisters by yourself. Or don't do that. I'm going to go a little further. This is the way we grew up. Can I just tell you how we grew up? If I need to give one of y'all sisters a ride in my car, you're a sister in Christ. I need to give you a ride in my car. My wife is not around. The best seat for you to sit is in the back. Praise the Lord. Because if you sit, you're going to sit up here in front. We're going to be looking each other in the eye, talking and all kind of stuff. And next thing, you don't think nothing of it. But you don't know how the devil come in there and anoint somebody. And let me tell you, adultery start with thoughts that eventually become actions. So the best way to protect yourself, you mind sitting in the back. Uber people do it all the time. Uber people get in the back. Amen. Act like you're in an Uber ride. It'll just protect you from sin. Amen, church. I'm gonna just get in the back, and I appreciate. And there's a balance here. You know what I'm saying? Because you might break down on the side of the road, and I'm not just, well, I want to get caught with you in my car. No, come on. There's a balance. The first thing I'm probably gonna do when I put you in the car, I'm gonna call my wife. Sister so and so broke down on the side of the street. I got her. She's here in the car with me, and I ain't gotta tell my wife. She in the back seat of the car. I ain't gotta say none of that. Just she in the car with me. She already know how I'm gonna handle that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, and use wisdom. If it's you and all your kids and all the other type of stuff, then just use wisdom. Amen. And you might even say, it depends. If the kids are young, you might have to put the kids in the back. Amen. But if you maybe got an older son or something like that, put him up in the front seat. I'm going to sit in the back. Praise the Lord, church. Right? This how you stay holy. This how you keep sin out. You got to think ahead of the devil. Praise the Lord. And we got the, and like Brother Branham say, you a man. Don't act like you're not a man. And let me also just, I don't want to add to the quote, but you a woman. And don't act like you're not a woman. Praise the Lord. We gotta keep the devil out. And the only way you do that is you raise a high standard. Amen. Conversation going the wrong direction, you should be quick. I don't think this is a good conversation. Praise the Lord. Even if you have to tell that to the brothers, no, that don't sound, I ain't answering that question. Can you just turn on the prophet? let's go on. What verse am I on? Verse 5, okay. Take that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones. I don't want to be simple. Use some wisdom. Among the simple ones, I discern among the youths a young man void of understanding. You get a young man that don't know nothing, and now he getting ready to walk right into a trap. And not only a young man, but a young sister that's never been down this path, never seen this. The devil set you up for a trap. Don't put confidence in your flesh. The Bible said, and don't put confidence in nobody else's flesh. I don't care who they is. Even me as a pastor, don't put no confidence in my flesh. Don't do that. Oh, he holy, ain't not. Don't do that. And so you conduct yourself the right way around ministers, around anybody else. Amen. But don't do that. Before you know it, something may not happen. You wonder, how did this happen? Praise the Lord, church. A man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Now, you know, when Solomon's writing that, he, in the twilight, in the evening, because that's when most sin happened, at night. Folk don't do stuff in the daytime where they can get caught. They wait till nighttime. You know when, oh my, you know when those creatures come out at your house? When you asleep. They coming out. Roaches come out at night. Amen. You don't want to have that type of spirit on you where things come out at night. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. You want to always be walking in day. Living in day. Living according to the word. All right, let's go on. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. And notice she has the attire of a harlot, and she's subtle of heart. Now, we're going to find out later on that this woman is actually a married woman, but she's dressing like a harlot. We got married women today that dress like harlots. Amen. Dress like you married. You don't need to get nobody attention. And actually, if you got to dress like that to get attention, you're going to get the wrong attention. Amen. Listen, watch this. She is loud. Oh, Lord have mercy. And young brothers, you watch a woman like that. You know, Brother Branham went looking for cows, and he made a statement. You say, that one look good. That one look good. The brother said, no, Brother Branham, you don't know what you're looking for. He say, why? That cow looks so healthy. He said, yeah. He say, Brother Branham, there's something that we know about cows that, you know, we need to teach you. Look at her eyes. Saying if that cow got a wild stare in the eyes, she won't make a good mama. When she have children, she won't be staying home. You'll find her in the bars. Hanging out in the club. That's where she's still trying to be young. Amen. He said, you'll find what you need to do is watch her eyes. So here the scripture saying, you know, she's loud. Loud. So watch a woman with that type of spirit. Here's another one about her. And stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She always on the go. Amen. I thank God for my wife. When we first got married, my wife, you know, she had friends that she would talk to. And, you know, she'd be talking and different things. But when she knew I was getting ready to walk through that door, she would not be on the telephone. In my husband home, and she always cut the conversation before I got home. She wanted to tend to her husband, and she had to tell, and I never even asked her to do that. She just did that on her own, right? Now my husband's home. I got to go, and the friend, if you don't accept this, bye, click. Because I'm telling you, my husband is coming home. He's walking through the door anytime, and I'm not going to be on this phone. I'm going to be tending to my husband. Praise the Lord. Man, you walk in, and she ain't said nothing. No kiss, no. She just steadily going. Now, she was doing that before you got married to her. You just didn't notice it. You just fell in love with it. You keep loving it. She loud. And stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. Now, she did this at night. She called him, and she and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him. And impudent is like a lurking face. An impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings. With me this day I have paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Pretty much saying, I done searched all over. I ain't found nobody. I've been looking for you. Set up from the devil. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. Well, she's setting them up now. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. She got them. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. The good man, her husband, is not there at house. So she invited him to come. Notice this young man that went to, you know, that fell into this. He was a young man that was void of understanding. He have taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Now, I'm going to tell you another thing here. Today's world, the reason that sometimes a wife does this is because she also knows her husband, while he on his business trip, he doing some things that he shouldn't be doing. And we end up with stuff like this. There's some messed up, perverted things going on in our world. I have some relatives, they got invited to just a neighborhood party. What verse am I on? 20. All right. Neighborhood party. Wife couldn't go to the party, so the husband just went to represent the family. Come to find out that at the party, this was a bunch of swinging going on. Just sharing each other's partners and stuff and inviting people. There is perversion happening in our world. God wants you to keep yourself for your marriage. Keep it. Keep yourself for your marriage. Even Brother Branham talked about how these Sunday school teachers leave town and go to a hotel in another state, and they're just going from man to man, drinking and all kind of stuff, just calling themselves having a good time. Sin, perversion. They had that back in his day. You can imagine how bad it is today. You be careful how you get wrapped up in stuff like that. You can't go to everybody's party. And let me tell you something, you ought to be living a life where they'd be like, no, don't invite them. If they say that, that's a compliment. Don't invite so-and-so. Oh, thank you. You see something in me that you want to invite me. Thank you. And then somebody else will come along. No, it's all right. They can come. No, take the first one and say, don't invite so-and-so. And lift your standard up higher. But don't fall for this sin. Hey, man, we want to be Christians. Look at this. They've taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strikes through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house. That's why you can't go to everybody's house. Her house. Jesus. Her house is the way of hell. Going down to the chambers of death. So when you got parents saying, no, you can't do this and you can't do that, and they don't want you going, they know that the house that you're going to go, you're getting ready to go to, that's the house of hell. And there's some things getting ready to happen there that you will regret for the rest of your life. Amen. Can I tell y'all parents to do something? Say no. Just say no. They're going to be upset. They're going to be disappointed. But it's going to be all right. They'll get over it. Just say no. Amen. I told you, you got to be their Holy Ghost till they get it on their own. Amen. You already know that ain't a good environment for them. Just say no. No, you can't do that. Well, I'm going to leave. Look, that's, if you leave this house and go do whatever you want to do outside this house, that's fine. But as long as you're under this roof, you are my responsibility. And I'm going to say what the word tell me to say. Amen. And if you didn't want this type of parent, shouldn't have been born in this family. Amen. Let's go back and just finish off this. This last quote, the prophet makes a statement here in Hebrews chapter 7, part 2. Some little old girl started going with some little old shrimp downtown here, smoke cigarettes. So you see a fella smoking cigarettes, call him little old shrimp. All right. Downtown here, smoked cigarettes, had a flask in his pocket. He drove a little roadster car around town. Mm-hmm. See, I'm going to tell you, cars carry spirits. That's why you got to even watch what car you buy. Oh, y'all ain't cut. As a believer, you got to even watch what car you buy, because a car will carry a spirit. Oh, Jesus. You watch and see what type of attention you get. Amen. He says this, he drove a little roadster car around. I couldn't see what she seen in that boy. He wouldn't come to church. He'd sit out there, put her in the church out here, and then she'd sit out there on the outside in his car and wait, wouldn't come in church. I said to her one day, she lived in New Albany, I said, I want to ask you something, girlie. What in the world do you see in that boy? I said, the first place he hates the very religion that you have. He despises your Christ. He would never make you a husband. He would make you miserable all your life. And I said, well, there's fine little Christian boys here that you could go with, and there your daddy and mother despises the thought of you going out, but you go anyhow, and you think, I'm sweet 16. She started wearing makeup and running out, and the first thing, she was in roadhouses. She's going on to eternity now. But then she stood here. And you know what excuse that girl gave me back there? That she loved that boy? The reason why she loved the boy. That she said, he's got such cute little feet. And he smells so good. Could you imagine that? Perfuming himself up. That's a sissy, not a man. Look, I said, sister, I'd rather go with a Christian boy that had feet like gravel cars and smell like a polecat if he was absolutely a Christian. That's right. True. Yeah. It's excused. Such cute little feet and smell so good. The little roadhouse runner finally ruined the life of the girl. It's a shame. Disgraceful. Marriage is honorable, but it should be entered prayerfully and reverently. Genuine love for that woman will bind you together forever. What you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. When you walk down the street yonder, she may get old and gray and wrinkled, but that same love you had for her when she was a young, beautiful woman, you'll still have it. You may get stoop-shouldered, bald-headed, and wrinkled face and everything else, but she'll still love you just like she did when you stand with wide shoulders and curly hair, if it's really God. For you look into the time when you cross the river yonder, when you'll spring back again to your young men and women to live together forever. That's God's eternal promise. He said he would do it. We'll get to it in a minute. He swore he would do it. Scripture tells us that marriage is honorable. And even when you enter to marriage, enter it prayerfully. Know what you're doing. Just don't run out there and just jump, you know, marrying anybody. They could mess up your life for the rest of your life. Because then once you make that commitment, there is no getting out of it. It's only death that separates you. Amen. But you know, you enter things reverently, prayerfully. Just be sure that the Lord is leading you, you know, down the right path. You know, as but the first thing is the main thing, I should say, not the first thing, but the main thing is do it according to God's word. Amen. When even God is concerned about our relationships and he wants things to be done according to his word, and marriage is the way that he wants us to do it. If we do any things outside of marriage, amen, then we're living in adultery, hell awaits. You know, and you know, there's, you know, some that go through things in a marriage and they might end up getting divorced and things like that. You know, God has to keep you. God has to give you strength, you know, to just kind of stay, you know, that way. But you can't go out there dilly-dallying playing with somebody else. Can't do that. There's a vow that was there. There's a vow. And God still sees that vow. Amen. Amen. There's only certain conditions where a person might be able to get divorced and get remarried, but not just because they you know, they did something crazy, but it's going to have to be some serious conditions. Amen. But you just pray about these things before you enter into it. Pray earnestly. Seek God. Amen. You don't need nobody messing up your life. You don't need nobody doing that. Hey, you was doing bad all by yourself. So you don't need nobody else to help you do bad. Let somebody come along that's going to pull you up. Amen. To the next level. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. Let's get back to the word of God. In all that we do, let's get back to the word of God. And as a church, we can't compromise on these things. Amen. The Bible is the Bible. And yes, we're glad to have people in church, but look, they're going to hear the truth when they come here. Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. We're going to preach the truth. Amen. Let's pray. I don't want folk to go to hell. I want them to go to heaven. I got to tell them what's right. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to not just read over these things and not apply them. God, truth is truth, and you're calling for something out of us. You want us to walk according to your word. God, we're determined as believers that that's exactly what we want to do. Live according to your word. Live a life that's pleasing in your sight. We want you to be glorified and magnified in us. So help us, Lord, to hear this and help us to share it with others, Lord. Some that we know that are living not according to your word. Lord, let us lovingly encourage them to do what's right. Constantly encouraging people to do what's right. We want to see them make it. And the only way they're going to make it, Lord, the Bible tells us, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So God, we want to be free and we want to walk according to your word. You loved us so much that you went to a cross and died for us, and we thank you for that. But Lord, don't let us take that grace and make a disgrace out of it. Help us, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's prepare for tonight's